Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
In the book of Romans, Paul declares, "We have all sinned." Does this mean that we must all continue in a life of sin? Is there no real deliverance from the wicked rebellion of our hearts? Is a Christian like the world, except they're forgiven, they go to church, and claim they are saved? Is there no power in the blood of Jesus to set the captives free in reality? Or is it all make-believe?
These are very difficult questions, and we're going to talk about them together. We're going to look at the scriptures and hear what they say about these issues. Now let's begin. Romans, the 3rd chapter, I'd like to take you back to verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified or are made righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. And then we come to this 28th verse, for we maintain that a man is made righteous or is justified by faith apart from observing the law. And then verse 31. This is Romans 3, verse 31. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. So as we now begin to look at Abram's life, and we begin to understand the lessons that God wants us to learn, know for certain that those lessons will not teach us to nullify the law of God. Rather, those lessons will teach us how to uphold the law. Look at the 4th chapter of the book of Romans. We find there now Paul turning to Abraham, and I want to read for you in verse 2, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. And I want to stop for just a moment. Already we've begun to receive emails from different ones of you who are listening to this broadcast, and immediately some of you have raised the issue and said, "Oh, pastors, you're teaching people that they have to be saved by works, and you're teaching people that it's not our relationship with Jesus that counts." Let's stop. Absolutely, let's be very clear. Our standing before Jesus is based on what Jesus Christ did at the cross, plus nothing.
Yes, plus nothing.
There are no works of the flesh involved in salvation. It is all of the blood of Jesus Christ. But now let's be very clear together. You have a relationship, and you and this beautiful woman that you're with, or this beautiful man that you're with, you're married to, this couple is in relationship, and God has ordained this marriage, and now one of the partners decides they want to have a relationship with someone else outside of the relationship.
Problems.
What does that do to the relationship?
Real problems.
Exactly. And that's what we face today in the body of Christ. We say we have this relationship with Jesus. We have sat at His feet. We love Him with all of our heart. But then we have relationships outside of our relationship with Jesus. And so we break the relationship, and then we play this game of saying, "Oh, we're declared righteous. We're declared righteous, but we're not righteous, and we won't be righteous until we get to heaven." Well, let's see if the Scripture supports these kinds of ideas. They're desperately misguided. Look at the 4th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 3. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This word "credited" literally means it was inventoried to him as righteousness. It was added up to him as righteousness. It doesn't say that he received someone else's righteousness. It says that he actually was credited with righteousness that did not come by works of the law. In other words, there was another avenue for this righteousness to flow through other than the observance of the law. But three things become very clear as we look at Abraham's life. One, that God passed over his sin with the expectation that at the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ would wipe it all away. That's what we called declared righteousness. Number two, it's going to be absolutely apparent to you as we walk through the story of Abraham that God demanded total and complete obedience. And when he did not obey, he got into desperate trouble and the presence of God left him. Third, you're going to discover how he walked by faith. You're going to discover what real faith is. Faith is not an idea. Faith is an action based on belief, sustained by the Word of God. So let's turn back now. Let's look at the story of Abram as he leaves Ur of the Chaldees.
Ur was an important city of that ancient world, and it was strategically situated on the Euphrates River. It thrived in business activity, such as beautiful jewelry, art treasures, exquisite dishes, and Ur was a prosperous center of religion and industry, which really indicates, Ray, that it was an advanced culture. So Abram comes from a wealthy city, and he was a refined man.
And now he becomes a nomad, living in a tent, wandering.
And people would say he must have been crazy to follow some voice that says, leave this culture, leave this country, leave all of this wealth that you have and the comfort.
And he received three commands. The Lord God of heaven, the God of glory, we're told by Stephen in the book of Acts, appeared to him in a theophany and gave him three commands. One, leave your country. Two, leave your family. And three, go to the land I will show you. Now, it's very clear he left his country part way, but he got stuck in Haran. His daddy went with him, so he did take his family with him in opposition to the command of God. The word Terah literally means delay.
And Haran means a parched land.
They were stuck in delay.
In a parched land.
In a parched land. And it was from this place that only death could deliver them. And Terah died. And death is what has to cut off the flesh. It has to cut off all that we desire to do in our own power to earn standing before God. Our flesh cannot stand before God and earn merit. It comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. So there was death. It cut him off. And then he began his journey once more. Unfortunately, he takes with him Lot. We'll find later the trouble that this stirred up for Abram and how God dealt with it. But then we find him camped out between Bethel and Ai. In chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, verse 8, from there he went on toward the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east.
Now Bethel means house of God, and Ai means a heap of ruin. And we talked about that last week, that he was halfway between the house of God and halfway between a heap of ruins.
Camped out between the house of God and the world.
Yes.
And I asked a young man this last week this question. I was speaking with him, a teenager. And I said to him, are you walking clean before God? His eyes got big. I said to him, no, I'm serious. This past week, were you closer to the house of God or were you closer to the world? In a very quiet voice, he said, I was closer to the world. I said, how long do you want to live closer to the world? He said, I don't know. I haven't decided. I said, if you live in the world, it will kill you. And then Jan spoke up.
And I said, if you live in the world, you're living twice dead because there's no second resurrection.
And he looked at her and he looked at me. He didn't know what to say.
But you see, the closer you live to the world, the farther away you are from God. And so you're going to go the way the world goes until you don't even want to go back to the house of God. It doesn't taste good to you.
Now, I have to tell you, Abram, this wonderful man of faith, makes so many mistakes as he tries to begin to walk his first baby steps.
Ray, I'd like to say something about this Father Abraham. I've always thought, you know, he's this father that has all the faith, and he's granted all this in Hebrews. But God had to grow up Abram. He had to start out like each of us, learning the ways of God.
Jan, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us these key ways of God. Faith is that key way of God. It is not an intellectual conviction that the teachings and doctrines about Jesus Christ are true. Faith is an honest heart's trust in the person of Jesus. The testimony of Scripture was designed to lead me to trust Jesus and to place all my confidence in Him. To simply believe intellectually will leave you in your sins. Let's turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 9. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now he's called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord has not answered him. And as many of us are apt to do, when we don't think we're getting an answer from the Lord, we pick up and go into action. Certainly, action will help something occur. It'll rescue us in some way, but instead it got Abram in very deep trouble. He's continuing toward the Negev, that is, he's going south. His face is already set toward Egypt. And then in verse 10 we find there's a famine in the land. And Abram does not cry out to the Lord and ask for directions. He's too new in his faith walk to understand this. His heart is still not totally obedient to the Lord God of heaven. He still has Lot with him. He's hanging on to his family. And God said, leave your family. So now he's headed toward Egypt, and there's a famine.
Ray, this reminds me of the book of Isaiah, chapter 31, verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. He was a businessman, so he knew how to make money, and he was tempted to go to the city where he knew he could make some money.
And there was adequate provision, rather than crying out to the Lord and waiting upon God. Now later, we find Abraham crying out to the Lord and waiting upon the Lord, but he learned this.
Yes, that's the mercy of the Lord, Ray. He teaches us through our mistakes. He'll pour out his mercy to put us back on his path.
Look at the desperate mistake he now makes in verse 11. This is Genesis, the 12th chapter, the 11th verse.
As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you.
And when Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. Wow, we have to stop. There is such a lesson that the Holy Spirit wants to unveil to us today. Do you see what Abram has done? He has taken the very thing that would be used by Almighty God to bring about all that he has promised Abram, and he puts that precious vessel into the hand of Pharaoh. He now has checkmated God. God cannot bring about now what he has promised because the wife has been given to Pharaoh for Pharaoh's wife. Now God is checkmated.
Sarai was barren from Abram's viewpoint. She couldn't have a child and didn't because she was around 65 at this age. And so the seed God promised him is now lost and it's given to Pharaoh.
And he settles instead for money.
Yes.
I want to share some things that cause me a great deal of concern regarding this. I see young men and women who've been called by the Holy Spirit to ministry. And yet now, many of you listening to this broadcast are wandering around without a church, without a pastor. You have been stubborn of heart. You've been unwilling to submit to discipline.
Impatient.
You've been impatient. And I have to tell you, I've had many young men, powerful young men, come to the National Prayer Chapel and stay for a while and then leave. And they have had the audacity to try to correct Pastor Jan and myself and tell us what we should do to take it to the next level. And when we have not been willing to follow their advice, many of them have impatiently gone out and even tried to begin their own ministries.
They flee, Ray. They just flee.
And they go to a barren place.
Yes.
A place of waiting.
Yes.
A parched place. And a place of discipline.
And they're placed on the shelf by God.
I can't tell you the sorrow it has brought to my heart to watch men and women called by God giving up the very thing that would have brought them into the work of the gospel, but because of their anger and impatience, because of their arrogance, they have cast away the very thing that would have brought forth every promise of God.
Ray, that's a gift. The Lord gives a gift that He wants to birth something through. And when we just casually throw it away because it's not happening at our speed and we're mad. I mean, you know, we've been raised in this culture of America that it doesn't happen in 15 minutes, then, wow, I'm out of here. We see television stories and we see movies that happen in a very short amount of time, so we think our life has to happen at that same rapid pace.
And if it's not happening in the way we think it should happen, then throw it away.
Yes.
And try something else.
We have this disposable lifestyle.
Yes. Now, what would happen if Pastor Jan and myself would say this work on the radio is just too expensive and it's too hard and we can't do it and we cast it off and we say, no, we're not going to sacrifice that kind of time and money.
And energy.
Energy.
Yes. It's
draining. And lifestyle.
It's draining.
And what happens then if we cast it off? And please, don't be mistaken. We've been tempted to cast it off.
Very much so.
And yet the Lord has said that through this ministry, He will begin to bring revival in America. And so what happens if we cast off this broadcast and say, it's too hard for us, we won't submit to the discipline, and we're not going to shoulder the burden of the finances, we're not going to go to the prayer closet. We want something that works in the business world.
We want something easy and quick, Ray.
Well, if we cast it off that way, then we'll cast off the very thing that God has designed and promised to use to bring forth His wonderful miracles.
And His deliverance, Ray.
Or what happens if in my marriage with Pastor Jan, I get tired of her and I say, you know, she's just too hard for me to deal with. I don't like this marriage. We're incompatible. And she says, yes, you're right. We're never going to make it. And she casts me off and I cast her off. Well, we've then cast off the very thing that God said He put together for the purpose of bringing forth His glory in drawing men and women's hearts to the gospel.
That's the gift the Lord has given us, and we wouldn't cherish it, Ray. We'd just throw it in the heap of pile.
This is what Abraham did.
Yes.
He cast Sarah off. And he said, give her to Pharaoh, and I'm going to reap the benefit. I'll build my herds, I'll build my business, I'll earn money. But money and herds and menservant and maidservant could not bring to pass the wonderful promises that God had made to him.
Yes, you can't buy the promises of God, Ray. They aren't for sale.
You can't buy righteousness.
No, you can't buy them, Ray. It's not there.
They either come as a gift by faith on the promises of God, or they're not available to you. And part of my heart today is to say to you who are listening, are you willing to go through with God and not cast off what God has given you? Are you willing to submit to the disciplining hand of God and not cast it off? Are you willing to go, young man, are you willing to go to that church that the Lord called you to and be subject to that pastor and serve him and serve the people in that house and wait for the Lord God of heaven to establish you in ministry? Today, many of you are just roaming. You can't find a church. You can't find a pastor that you are willing to trust. You're not willing to submit to the discipline. And I urge you to go through with God.
So I encourage you to search your heart and ask the Lord. Go in the prayer closet and ask the Lord, what gift has He given you that you have thrown away to the world where God wanted to use to bring about His promise in your life and a benefit to the kingdom of God?
Now we find that Abram is finally confronted by Pharaoh. He is shamed by Pharaoh. And the word tells us that we would be shamed if we go down to Egypt. Isaiah, the 30th chapter, I urge you to carefully read this whole chapter, but let me just quickly share it with you.
Verse 1-3, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an allegiance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to you your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace.
Now do you see, everything that you go to the world for, everything that you cast off of God, every discipline you refuse to submit to, every time you go in your own way, under your own power, for your own advantage, will in the end simply be wasted time and energy. You will put at risk everything that is most precious to you, and you will cast off the very thing that God desires to use to bring forth His glory for the salvation of the lost and the dying. We have no time to waste. The terrible judgments of God are being poured out even as we speak. Run to Jesus. Get right with Him. Don't trust in what you think or believe. Trust in the pure word of the living God. Don't cast off that most valued treasure. Trust in Jesus and walk in obedience to His commands.
The world or Egypt will bring to you neither help nor advantage, but only shame and disgrace.
And we want to ask you today, have you exchanged that beautiful gift of God for the world? Have you cast away the treasure that God wants to use to bring about the promises He's made to you? Have you made alliances with the world? Have you gone down to Egypt? Have you not consulted the Lord, but sought the advice of others? As you walk out this life called the Christian faith, are you doing it by faith, waiting upon the Lord, or are you doing it like a member of the family of Egypt?
Have you relied on the strength of wisdom of man, which is the wisdom of the world? Or have you cried out to the Holy One of Israel and pleaded for help from the Lord and not move until you are clear that the Lord has commanded that?
When you face a problem, how do you solve it? Do you use the best wisdom, the best advice of the human heart, Or do you go to your prayer closet and wait there until you receive a reply from heaven? The children of Israel did not respond well to Isaiah's words. And so he said of them, "These are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, 'See no more visions,' and to the prophets, 'Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel.'" And today we're confronting you with the Holy One of Israel. We're saying, have you cast aside that most precious gift and compromised with the world so that today you really walk like the world from paycheck to paycheck? You walk like the world, enjoying all of the entertainment of the world, all of the darkness of the world. The world is really useless to you. It can offer you nothing. And I would ask today, are you camped out closer to the house of God or closer to the world?
And how long have you camped between Bethel and Ai? And are you ready to get closer to the house of God because you're tired of being in that heap of ruins? And you know, when you're in a desperate situation, God exposes the bitterness of your heart, or the rebellion of your heart, or the independence of your heart.
That's why he said in Isaiah 30, verse 15, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." But you would have none of it. You said, "No, we'll flee on horses." Therefore, you will flee. You said, "We will ride off on swift horses." Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. And, O Lord, we plead your blood over each listener today.
Yes, Lord.
We ask that you would break the rebellion of our hearts.
Almighty God.
And that you would restore to us what we have tried to cast away to Egypt.
Oh, Lord God.
Lord, redeem it.
Yes, Lord. Pour out your mercy and your grace, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, mighty God. Yes, we pray, Lord, in your name.
Amen. I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and his holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. That number again, 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience his joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.